answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
On day 8 of the administration, he signed the first executive action that would kill a senior ISIS leader. Since then, our incredible war fighters and intelligence community operatives have managed to neutralize more than 820 jihadis across the world. We are back in the business of counterterrorism. So that applies doubly to the greatest state sponsor of terrorism, which is Iran. So we are leading from the front under the command in chief President Trump, and we are just a very hard target. We know they have an intent to do us harm. We've seen that. We've seen the plotting. We've seen the attempts to exact revenge for the killing of Qasem Soleimani. But we will brook no compromise, as the new CT strategy evinces.
That is, of course, the strong voice, certainly detectable voice, of Sebastian Gorka. Speaking about how we're dealing with Iran and the world as a whole. Sebastian Gorka, of course, serving in the Trump administration and making sure that his voice is heard, and I'm glad he is. Sebastian Gorka. An imposing voice every time you hear it. Trump brought him on in the first administration and used him to some extent, and now he is the director, senior director for counterterrorism. And talking about since the start of the Trump administration, this time around, we have neutralized more than 820 jihadist terrorist groups around the world, groups and our individuals. That's good news. And yet, what do I see from Congress? What I see from Congress, I'm looking at one of the latest stories out. There is once again, an effort to impeach Donald Trump. Back off a moment. This is not a Democrat we're talking about in this case. This is House Resolution 1311. Referred to the House Judiciary Committee, introduced by Daryl Issed, Republican of California. You're saying, what? Oh, gotcha. No, he's not supporting it. He introduced this resolution to reverse the two impeachments of President Trump. He says, Democrats, quote, knowingly use false claims in another partisan attempt to destroy the president's reputation. And, of course, they're looking at, quote, the War Powers Act and what's happening with Iran. Quoting Issa directly, he says, the fact is the Constitution does not spell out what to do when you're wrongly indicted, when you have wrongly indicted somebody. An impeachment is basically an indictment, and it's an indictment that you cannot really be acquitted from if you were impeached by the House, famously. Where do you go to get your reputation back? That's the question. He said that's sort of a problem we're dealing with, which is what the president was wrongfully accused of doing. The evidence is now out that supposedly with information was withheld, false information. Where do we go to unring this bell? As I pointed out in our first hour, did you miss the first hour? I'm sorry. I know you can't be with us all the time. In the first hour, we began by asking, is Dr. Fauci going to go scot-free? Today, May 11th, marks a statute of limitations to bring perjury charges against him for lying to Congress. And we've done nothing. But I don't know if there's not another game in play behind the scenes. One of his top advisors last week was indicted for perjury and lying to Congress, obviously, and covering up COVID information and details. So that might still be a back way door to get to Fauci, but I will tell you right now, by God, I want the man standing in front of a court, and I want him to pay for the crimes he inflicted on our nation. But what do we get from the Democrats? Impeach Trump. Impeach Trump. For what? Well, I don't like him. That's not good enough. And the other stuff they tried to impeach him on, false. There was no Russian collusion. But they are so hell-bent on trying to do everything they can to destroy Donald Trump. And right now, we've got the midterms coming. And, of course, gas prices still going up. We're not done with Iran in 60 days. But we're actually not fighting Iran directly. We are responding if they fire at us. We're no longer blockading the strait. Now, whether or not ships are paying Iran a toll-free fee, that's between them and Iran, I guess. But we're not blocking. What we are doing is blocking the Iranian ports so nothing leaves the Iranian port, such as oil, and nothing gets in via ship. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA, here on May 11, 2026. Reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you do that? Well, you go to News Talk, STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything we do, video and audio, go up as podcast later. So in case you did miss the first hour, you can pull it up. You go to News Talk STL podcast. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or any podcast outlet you prefer to use, go ahead. Search Larry Connors USA. You'll find it. With Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, commentary, and education. Every hour you learn and find out more than you knew when we began the hour. That's my guarantee. Coming up, I've got a guest dealing with what New York Governor Hochul decided last week. And I'm telling you, there's a fire to be built here. Could be a funeral pyre for her by the time it's over with, because she's going right against the teachers' unions. She's proposing that New York State sign on to school vouchers for parents. If so, that would become the 30th state offering it. And all the laborized union school teachers who are more interested in their labor union than teaching kids are fighting back. You know why? Because they're afraid, well, parents won't want their kids coming to this school. Why do you think that is? Maybe you're not teaching them at all, or you're trying to indoctrinate instead of teach. We'll get into that in the second hour. In the meantime, this issue of illegals coming into our country, illegally is wrong, obviously. But what about the issue of just having immigrants? Should we just have immigrants? Should we have immigration as a natural invite to our country? We already do, and I'll give you details of that in a moment. But I want you to hear from a former covert CIA intel officer, U.S. Air Force combat veteran, Andrew Bustamante, founder of Everyday Spy, and he says, immigration is not a human right.
If the foreigner doesn't benefit the country, they shouldn't be here. What you're getting at there is a question of ideology. You just said yourself, we don't want to be the person that's anti-immigration. Well, why not? What makes you feel like there's anything wrong with being the person who's anti-immigration? The problem is that we've been socially acculturated, right, to believe that immigration is like a human right, that immigration is a good thing, that immigration is democracy. That's not why immigration was invented. Immigration was invented because countries needed to survive, so they needed to bring in skilled workers from other countries, or they needed to bring in labor-intensive workers from other countries to do jobs that the local skilled workforce couldn't do. That's it. That's why immigration exists. It's not supposed to be fair and just, and we're here to help people, and we want to make sure that refugees have a safe place. No, that's all political bullshit. That's all stuff that you feed a stupid citizenship to make them feel like we're doing the right thing by letting foreigners into our country. If the foreigner doesn't benefit the country, they shouldn't be here. There's some other place they can go where they can benefit that country there, but that country isn't here.
And you know what? Canada has the same standard. If you're going to become or go into Canada, live there, you must prove what you're bringing to them. And of course, we're besieged by illegals thanks to Joe Biden's open door policy. We've shut that spigot down, but we still have immigration. This is a nation of immigrants. We're built upon immigration, and we continue to bring them in. Are you aware of that? The leftists will have you believe that we hate everybody. We don't want anyone else in our country, especially the brown people, the minority people, whatever. Well, the fact is we admit something like 675,000 permanent immigrants, green cards generally, annually. And often the number is higher than that because there's no limit on spouses, parents, children of U.S. citizens. Which reminds me why Trump is fighting against this born of soil that we allow anyone from any country to come to our country, have their baby, and that baby becomes a U.S. citizen. We need to put a stop to that. China apparently has 1 million plus. They've used this scheme for several years. Eventually, they'll all come back and they'll displace American citizens, real American citizens. They were not born here under the guise of going back and coming later, as some Chinese are planning. In fiscal year 2024, we issued 1.3 million green cards. And we have annual refugee admissions, about 125,000. And you get family sponsored, about 480,000. Employment-based, which we were talking about, 140,000. Then they have a lottery for 55,000 across the world. Put their name into a lottery to come to USA. If their name gets picked, they get to come. Whether or not they're going to provide or do anything for us. And what we do know that some are coming in, they want to change our nation. And in Florida, Governor DeSantis is saying, we're standing firm.
Bill also creates enhanced criminal penalties for crimes committed to benefit foreign governments or foreign-owned terrorist organizations. As I mentioned, charitable organizations. It prohibits those organizations from accepting contribution or support from designated terrorist organizations, including the Council of American Islamic Relations and the Muslim Brotherhood, which we have done in the state of Florida with our most recent bill cracking down on the expansion of Sharia. The bill also requires the Department of State to maintain and publish a list of all foreign consulate offices and all sister city and sister state affiliations in Florida.
So he's not going to allow Sharia to take place in his state. Good. We also know the left likes to use immigration, illegal immigration in particular, to populate states so they can gerrymander congressional districts. Does a black person only vote for a black person? Does a white person only vote for a white person? We'll get into that before we wrap up this hour. But bring us up to date with Iran, according to Energy Secretary Wright, and we're in a good position.
The economic pressure on Iran right now is increasing dramatically. Not only is their government in the country losing their main export revenues because of our blockade, but also our economic fury operation that we launched starting just a few weeks ago is collecting the monies of the corrupt IRGC leaders that they've squirreled away abroad. Mm-hmm. We are turning the economic pressure up on the leaders of Iran to drive their motivation to come to the table.
Now, in our last hour, in case you missed it, we had a oil executive founder of his own company, saying, we still need more oil. We do. We produce about 13 million barrels a day in this nation. We use 20. So there's a shortage there, and even with the oil coming from Venezuela. So we need to get more up, but it's not just drilling for it. You have to be able to refine it. So we need more refineries if we're really going to be energy independent. Thursday, President Trump will be flying to Beijing to meet Premier Xi. And the topic obviously will include everything, such as Iran and our China relations. Our National Economic Council Director Hassett.
The fact is that President Trump and President Xi have very close relationships, and President Trump puts American workers and American businesses first. I can remember once my friend, Secretary Howard Letnik, sort of joked about how he's the most successful soybean salesman in American history. And yeah. What's going on, I think, is that we're going to have this trip with two leaders that are extremely close with one another, and we're going to be making deals. Exactly how those deals look, it will depend on, you know, how the meetings progress, but my expectation, given the strong relationship between the two presidents, is that there'll be lots of good news for American workers and firms.
That would be great. I like to see that. And while we're talking about prices, oil prices, gas prices, we're approaching north of $4.50 in some areas. And California is around $8, but of course that's 60+% estate tax. Whereas a federal tax on every gallon of gasoline you get, that's about 18.4 cents. And Missouri Senator Hawley has now introduced a bill to suspend that 18.4 cent a gallon gas tax for a period of time. President Trump's already said, I'm in favor of dropping the federal gas tax. But it takes Congress to actually make that happen. So Senator Hawley has put that bill in play, and we'll see how far it goes and what we're going to get out of it. And you're also hearing rumblings that, oh, we could have another COVID with this Hanta virus that broke out on a cruise ship in the Canary Islands. The Americans on board are back in the U.S., now at Nebraska, in a quarantine while they're being checked and double-checked. But I'm going to give you some real numbers about Hantavirus that they're trying to hide. They want you to make you believe it's going to be everywhere. They're ignoring, quote, the science. No surprise there. My guest coming up on the New York governor signing on for School of Vouchers. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes. The German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There was a shocking remark made during a gathering of folks who were close to Governor Kathy Hochul of New York. It was Thursday night. Word began to kind of sneak out of it Friday morning. And I've been kind of watching to see what else is going to happen. And right now, the leftist media is trying to ignore it because what she's doing is going in the face of what they prefer. She announced to this private gathering she would go along with the education reform tax credit that would make New York the 30th state to provide basically school vouchers for parents to decide where they want to send their kids. And joining us with his take on it, the National Press Secretary for the American Federation for Children, Brian Jaudis. Brian. Welcome.
Larry, great to be with you. How are you?
I'm great. Now, you're president for the American Federation for Children, pointed out that teachers' unions are among the most politically powerful groups in the country, keeping politicians in line, and unions speak loudly in Albany, the capital of New York. What's going on here?
Yeah, not just Albany, Larry. It's obviously across the country. I mean, the teachers' unions run around with probably about $3 to $4 billion with the B dollars in their coffers. And even recent reporting over the last few weeks has shown they spend about $1 billion annually on political causes. And so it really is quite a giant and a monster to have to tackle. And they've got a lot of control over politicians across the country. But you see Governor Hochul say and ideally do what is the right thing to do here. This education freedom tax credit will provide scholarships for kids across the country to go to schools from different makes and models, right? And so that's got applicability for public school, charters, private school, homeschool through these SGOs. And so saying she's going to participate in the program, ultimately opting her state in, is the right move. And then the question becomes, can the dam break here? Can we see more Democrat governors do the right thing and opt in? And she's got some states that border her where there's a lot of attention. Pennsylvania, close. Will Josh Shapiro do this as well? And so we'll be anxious to see if more Democrat governors do the right thing and opt into this program.
But she is only the second Democrat governor to do that. Colorado's Governor Polis has already done so.
Yep, that's correct. So he was the first on this and did the right thing and basically said, I'd be crazy not to do this because, I mean, look, here's how this works. You're going to have taxpayers across the country that are going to be able to donate to scholarship granting organizations. They'll then turn those dollars into scholarships for kids in private school, public school, to use for things like tutoring. Again, a lot of applicability. But again, the trick is the governor or the state has to opt in. Governor Polis said he would do that. Now Governor Hochul has said as well. You know, in Kansas and in Kentucky, you've seen legislatures take action where their Democrat governors wouldn't opt in. So they've taken action to get there. But, you know, what ultimately would happen is if a state doesn't opt in, well, you can still bet those taxpayers are going to want to take advantage of this tax credit, right? They're going to be making donations to SGOs. They'd just be sending it to other states. And I think the commentary from Governor Hochul was, I don't want to see those dollars to go to another state than mine. So that's why it makes sense. And it makes sense for every governor to participate.
And you know what? That statement seems to be a farce on its face because they're doing everything they can to tax New Yorkers out of the state and corporations.
It's such an interesting dynamic, but, you know, on its face and what this scholarship program can really do to unlock school choice in all 50 states, that's where if you can put that those partisan differences aside, if you can really look at this for what it can be, philanthropic, donor-driven support that can help kids in your home state at no cost to the state, right? So there's no extra budgeting that the state's going to have to take on here. That's why it makes sense. So you got to be able to put those partisan differences aside and do the right thing here, and that's by opting in.
You're listening to Brian Jordis, who's the National Press Secretary for the American Federation for Children. Your CEO has also pointed out in a survey last fall, and I'm not sure the source, stating that nearly two-thirds of voters nationwide favor this tax credit compared to 18% against it. And party lines, 70% Republicans, 60% Independents, and 58% Democrats.
And the more you talk to them about it, Larry, the better it even gets, right? So when, if you explain what this is and how it'll work and how it's donor-driven support and how it can support kids across different makes and models, then it only grows in popularity. And you're right, this is one of those issues that it is popular with everyone. We've even seen with low-income minority families, it even exceeds some of those polling numbers. And so it's the right thing to do. It's why we've seen 32 states in the District of Columbia create school choice programs. Nearly 20 of those have some sort of universal eligibility. It's why we've seen states embrace this more, this investing in students model. And that's why we're so excited when President Trump and Congress through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act made this education freedom tax credit a priority as a way that we can then unlock this in all 50 states, states like New York, states like California, where they won't even pass the most modest of school choice programs to really have an opportunity now to help more kids.
But here's the they're not the same in every state. Isn't that correct? Or am I wrong?
That's correct. And that's sort of the beauty of school choice across the country. It allows states to create programs that can best meet their kids' needs. You know, I live in North Carolina. We've got an opportunity scholarship here that's been helping kids for a long time. But in the last 3 or 4 years, it's been unlocked to help kids across the state. So now all kids are eligible. Texas just passed and is implementing what is the largest day one school choice program in the history of the country. So you can have those programs, which are amazing, to be able to help kids in states. But when the unions have such a stranglehold in a state to date, like in New York, where they've been able to get unable to get school choice programs here, now by opting into this education freedom tax credit, we can create some more pathways for kids. And that's kind of the beauty of it.
Well, living in North Carolina, you're living in one of the fastest growing states as they flee the blue states.
That's right. And we're seeing more and more of that. And you're seeing families across the country making moves into states with robust school choice. I mean, obviously, massive migration into Florida. They've got the largest school choice program in the country at 500,000 kids. And so it's another reason why you can help your state by creating these educational options, right? Not only have great economic climate, but the more educational options you have, the more appealing it is for young families to maybe make that move.
And in some cases, you have corporations or employers stepping up saying, we will match whatever you're putting into your school voucher.
Yeah, you've also have some programs where you've got, you know, tax credits. Like in Florida, there's a corporate tax credit, right? So it makes for a great business climate, obviously makes for a great educational climate. The other benefit too, Larry, is we've seen the longer these school choice programs are in existence, it helps not only kids in the programs, but it helps kids in those traditional public schools around them. Studies out of Florida show that that program's been there for 15 years. As it's grown, it only gets better for the kids on the program and those kids in the neighboring school. So this really can be a rising tide that lifts all boats.
However, there's the but. You've got those unions, and they are not going to ease up on their iron grip. You can expect them to spend money to fight against it as opposed to helping educate children. Brian? Oh, we had him. We'll try to get him back in the last minute or so if we can, real quick. Make sure we've still got him with us. Because the unions are fighting. I mean, they got money to spend, but where are they going to spend it? Are they going to spend it to help the kids, or are they going to spend it to do something else? Brian, we got you back? All right. Apparently we lost him, and we're running out of time. We'll have to send him an apology for that. But again, these unions are not going to loosen their grip. I mean, once they've got their hands, and I want you to understand something. I'm not knocking every teacher that's inside of a union. In some cases, you're forced to join. I know that. In other cases, you may not be directly forced. Brian, we got you back for one the last minute. One quick last question again. The unions have money to spend, but they're going to be spending it to fight this instead of fighting for better education for kids.
It's kind of crazy when you think about it, Larry. I mean, all of those resources that are available, but who's sort of left on the sidelines and forgotten about for far too long? It's the students. You've seen that the priorities of the unions are crystal clear. It's a political machine. But kids are the ones that are left behind. I mean, you could take all of those resources and pour into helping create better academic outcomes. Clearly, that's not been the priority. And I think more and more people are starting to see where their real priorities lie.
So while we said unions speak loudly in Albany, New York, capital, but we're hearing more parent voices and Democrat leaders are being forced to sit down and listen.
Yeah, you love to see it, don't you? That's the way it should be. Empowering parents and kids across the country. That's what K-12 education should be all about. So
right.
Parents, have your voices heard.
All right. I want to thank you again for your time. Again, Brian Jodas, National Press Secretary, American Federation for Children, and the CEO of the American Federation, did pen a piece for the Wall Street Journal the other day called A-Plus for School Choice in New York. That was based upon Kathy Hochul at some little fundraiser or a cocktail party, whatever, saying, you know, I think we should do that. And she's estimating $5 billion could be raised from New Yorkers that would help kids go to schools and schools of their choice and make the education better. As Tommy Schultz wrote for the Wall Street Journal, the decision is a no-brainer. Give the kids a chance. My God, there's so many kids out there that are not getting a good education, much less an education. I talked to a friend the other day who's teaching in Louisiana, one of the poorer sections, and saying the kids are afraid that if this teacher leaves and a couple more, the school shut down, and said, how are we going to learn to read and write then? They want to learn and read and write. My God, help them. And you as a parent should be able to decide what's best for your child. Coming up, Donald Trump on Don't Try to Put COVID Rules on Us Again.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. And NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The left-wing lunatics are trying very hard to bring back COVID lockdowns and mandates with all of their sudden fear-mongering. These are bad people. These are sick people we're dealing with. But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words. We will not comply. So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdown. We will not abide by your mask mandates. And we will not tolerate your vaccine mandates. I will use every available authority to cut federal funding to any school, college, airline, or public transportation system that imposes a mask mandate or a vaccine mandate. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. That is... talking about these, if we're going to see them try to crack down on our nation as they did during COVID, the World Health Organization has already said we're concerned about this hantavirus breakout on the ship that was cruising the Canary Islands. Some Americans were on board. They have since been everyone taken off the ship. The Americans are back stateside. Now, when the report came out that they had hantavirus on the ship. They had something like 100-plus passengers on board, 17 Americans. And the 17 Americans have now been taken to Omaha, Nebraska, for the National Quarantine Center, just to check them out again. And they're suggesting, the director of National Institutes of Health, saying that some Americans might quarantine at home with support from local health officials. But I want you to keep something in mind. This is not another COVID. When the cruise ship anchored near Tenerife in the Canary Islands, the Spanish nationals got off first. Then they began to bring the others out and making sure how infected they may or may not be. What they don't tell you and share with you is that hantavirus is not something that you spread person to person. It is from a rodent, a rat, a mouse, typically a deer mouse, and its feces and its droppings. You come in contact with it, you're likely to have hantavirus in one fashion or another. Growing up in West Texas, we were always aware of this. You went out camping, you had to be aware of it. If you came across some area, you might be aware that there's been an outbreak of hantavirus in that area. But let me give you these stats here. 20 years of surveillance for hantavirus in humans in our nation. In those 20 years, 624 cases. Are you listening? Are you listening? 624 cases out of 20 years, and 94% of those occurred in states west of the Mississippi. The Four Corners region, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah, did have an outbreak in 1993. And again, it was traced to rodent droppings, people coming in contact with them, either touching the rodent dropping or touching the rodent or their blood or saliva in some way. The main states where you're going to find this would be Texas, New Jersey, Georgia, California, Virginia, and Arizona. And if you're not out camping and you're not out around them, you're probably not going to have any contact. Now, in some areas, in homes, and for those who might live on tribal lands, if they're still living in a tent or something, they might have a greater chance of catching it. Or if you're out hiking in the wilderness in those areas, you might have a greater chance of catching it. It is normally considered 33 to maybe 38% fatal. And often that depends upon the vulnerability of the person infected. Do you have other illnesses, respiratory or otherwise? So Trump has said, we will not comply. You start trying to impose all the stuff you did during COVID, and the World Health Organization has already sent word out that, you know, we might need states and countries to kind of follow our guidelines. Follow you out the door and into your... Never mind. You know where I was going with that. I'm not saying you dismiss it, that it's nothing to worry about. And people that get it, they need to be treated. And we need to make sure they're free of it and not in some fashion spreading it by cough, sneeze, saliva of some type to someone else. But they will try to milk it for everything they can. Just as we're seeing, as the Democrats were trying to gerrymander election districts to making sure it was a heavily black district, even though it really was a funny-looking congressional map, but it was going to make it a solid Democrat forever and ever and ever. Listen to Shannon Bream on one report.
Alabama Republicans have just filed an emergency request with the U.S. Supreme Court, asking the justices to lift a lower court ruling that stands in the way of their redistricting plans. Now, if Republicans succeed in all the proposals currently underway and the new maps pass legal muster, they can actually stand to net anywhere from four to 13 new seats before the midterms.
So that could be a big plus for Republicans. Shannon Bream, Fox News. Then we also have a dispute going on in Indiana.
Some will say these maps are political. Let me be clear. Let's see, it's political. Safe streets are political. Look at Indianapolis. Affordable electricity is political. Drug-free Indiana is political. Peace in the Middle East is political. Dealt with it firsthand. If drawing a map that secures two more seats for the Republican Party means that we continue to see overdose deaths drop by 20%, then I'll draw that map every single day of the week and twice on Sunday. If drawing a map means that we'll continue to see a 93% drop in illegal immigration, and I'll sign it with a smile on my face. We're not here to be neutral arbiters of decline. We're here to be active agents of American greatness.
Indiana State Representative Garten. Now, here's the issue to keep in mind. In Alabama, the population in Alabama, the black population, at last report, equals about 27% of the state's total population. Alabama is sixth among states in percentage of black residents. And you have high concentrations in the Black Belt region, metropolitan areas like Birmingham and Montgomery. Georgia, 33% black population in Georgia. New York State, 17%. Of the populace is black. In New York City, it's 9%. But here's the question, and you know the answer. Do black voters only vote for black candidates? Of course they don't. That's what the left would have you believe. So that's why they want all these blacks in this one district. They will always vote for a black. In other words, they expect them to follow what we tell you to do. we put a Democrat candidate in that area up against a Republican, you better vote for the Democrat. The other side of the question, do whites always vote only for a white candidate? Obviously not. Racial gerrymandering is, when I hear them on the left crowd, oh, Jim Crow, they don't know what they're speaking about to begin with. I haven't really bothered looking back and counting the number of times a candidate I was voting for was black or white or Hispanic or maybe Hindu. I voted for them because I believed in them, or I did not vote for them because I did not believe in them. But they would have you believe, no, we need to carve these out. You know, there's a push now in Tennessee by some inside Memphis. We want to separate from the rest of the state. We want to be our own state because we have such a big population in Memphis that's black. If they had their way, that's how they would do, quote, racial gerrymandering, which they've been doing. You know why they're choosing Memphis? It does have one of the highest concentrations of black residents in the U.S. 65%. So they're saying if we could be separate, Memphis will always be represented by only black candidates. Does that sound inane? It is. It is. And it's almost as far-fetched as listening to Congresswoman, State Washington Congresswoman Yaya Paul talking about how she's going to get oil to Cuba.
Only one Russian tanker of oil has made it to Cuba. In fact, it landed just a couple of days before I landed. And one tanker has enough oil basically for 10 to 14 days of Cuba's oil needs. So it's a very limited amount of time. Now, Russia has said they're going to send another tanker. I was in conversations with the ambassadors from Mexico and some other places, and I know other countries in Latin America are trying to figure out how to get oil there.
Where is that in your duties as a Washington State congressional representative trying to get oil into Cuba? Where is that in your purview? Oh, she just decided to step out there and do that. Now, if the situation were reversed and a Republican from, let's say some state to the north, pick your choice of one of the red Republican states or one Republican in one of those states, suddenly starts saying about what we need to be doing, reference foreign policy for another nation, I'd call them out as well. If you would stick to representing your state and quit acting like you're an ambassador at large for the world, it'd probably help your state residents. Now, the other day, or rather back in 2025, Hakeem Jeffries, who often likes to say that everybody should come to me for counsel, this is a flashback to when he blew up at Donald Trump. Now, I don't remember what Trump said exactly, and I really could care less. But it was enough that Hakeem had to go viral.
Mr. President, the next time you have something to say about me, don't cop out through a racist and fake AI video. Yep. Yeah. When I'm back in the Oval Office, say it to my face. Say it to my face.
That's assuming you're going to be back in the Oval Office. By the way, Joe Biden's lawyers are trying to block the Department of Justice releasing his conversations with a ghostwriter in 2017, a ghostwriter helping him produce a book in which he talked about the death of his son, Beau. They want to make sure that did he release or say anything that he should not have said? And according to the Heritage Foundation's Mike Howell, he said, we're going after it through the Freedom of Information Act. He said those tapes where Joe Biden was talking to this ghostwriter. Those tapes belong to the American people. Why is the auto pen fighting to hide them? Tomorrow is a deadline for Biden lawyers to respond to the DOJ release. It could be delayed until June 15th if there is no objection before tomorrow. The tapes, apparently, according to Heritage Oversight Project and what they told Politico, these tapes will further prove the massive lie regarding Biden's fitness for the office and the fact that he revealed classified information. Hand over the tapes. We all know Biden was incompetent near the end, so did the left, but now they never said word one. But now they look at Trump. Oh, he's getting too old. He's getting a little senile, it looks like. If a man can hold a stage audience for an hour plus talking, even if he goes off on a rant somewhere in a different direction you expected, I'd say he's competent. By the way, two Miami officers. I don't know if you've seen this new movie. It's a Netflix crime drama, The Rip. It involves police officers. They're taking down a big drug house, $20 million. And there's a little feuding. Are they going to keep the money for themselves? Or are they going to turn it in as they should? Two Miami police officers are filing a lawsuit against the stars Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, saying you falsely portrayed us. Now, I don't know the facts beyond what I just told you, but they're claiming it inflicted emotional distress the way you portrayed us. I was thinking that the Hialeah police would be filing a lawsuit because they do definitely dismiss the Hialeah police as being too corrupt to discuss the drug deal with them. The Rip, it is called. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.